is a lack of attention to detail is probably the biggest reason for the number of adjustments. Now, materiality-wise, it was an adjustment of $12,000 to the bottom line. So not really material to the financial statements as a whole. Just really what the result is, it slows down the audit process because you end up having to dig more to get to where you feel that you have a comfort level of what the numbers are at the end of the year. So, it just ends up you kind of it become a detective in the middle of an audit. Trying to solve those. And of course, we didn't have the expertise of the individual who kept the books all year to talk to and rely upon. It was Lori and it was Ruben a lot and Patty, a lot of sleuthing going on and trying to figure out and so on. So we can always say, and I know it will be much better next year. So we will move on and lick our wounds and do better next year, right? So kind of to give you a little snapshot of how the audit works too, just to educate everybody, is we drive from the balance sheet primarily, because those are external source documents that we can cite and vouch and verify with either a bank or a financial institution or the county for taxes and so on. So we get those all ironed out on the balance sheet with it shaking out to the profit and loss. In doing that, we also do what we call an internal control walkthrough. That's where we do a cross-section of transactions to get a comfort level of, are the internal controls that have been established by the library district being followed? And are they traceable? Do we have an audit trail that I can cite that, or is it a verbal confirmation? So we do that with cash receipts, so money coming in. Of course, your big dollars that come in are all electronically fund transfers, so there's never an issue with that. The issues that we've had in the past, which some of you know, are when we had the cash collections, either for past due books or fines and so on. And we know several years ago you went away from that, so that revenue line has dropped significantly. Still something we look at, definitely cleaned up, but it's immaterial to your financials as a whole. So we don't really focus on it as we did in the past. But of course, Tim made a lot of changes to that process to clean it up. Then cash disbursements, so any payments out. So that can be to any vendor. And so we look at that. Do we have source documentation, an invoice that's been reviewed and approved? Has it been recorded into the financial statements to the correct account? Was it paid timely? Did the check clear the bank? Was it endorsed by the vendor who we wrote it to? Those kinds of transactions. And both the cash receipts and the cash disbursements, for the most part, did not really raise any significant red flags. Items that we did see, we addressed in that letter of significant deficiencies and material weaknesses. The last section is payroll, which is a huge expense to the organization. And so that is citing, a cross-section of employees. Usually we start that from a gross wage amount on an annual basis. Anybody making over X number of dollars are highly compensated individuals. We select them. And then we do a completely random selection of other hourly employees. And in doing that, we did find more issues than we had in the past. And we addressed those in that significant deficiency and material weakness letter. And more so towards the end of the year with our employees that were exiting. And so again, we learn from it and we decide how do we best improve upon that going forward and move forward. What's done is done. It was decided not to make any changes to employees' pay, not to, or we didn't owe any employees money. We were owed money back to us. So some employees were overpaid, not of significant dollar amounts, though, not anything material to the organization. But nonetheless, we always want to make sure that we can substantiate the payments. So that's the audit kind of in a high level of how we go through that. A lot of digging through, supporting documentation and making sure that we have an audit trail to identify, approved expenses and money coming in. So with the audit, when you get it and you go through it, I'll just kind of give you a a quick little overview of it. The first section is called the Management Discussion and Analysis. That is something put together by Patty, and it's a great little synopsis of how the year went. Where did our revenue come in? What are we expecting for the future? What were our expenses? What are the great accomplishments that we had during the year? And what are our goals for the next year? In a very easy to read format, where sometimes the legalese or the format that the footnotes are written in can be, you know, just not as fun to read. So if you want to focus on something, it's the Management Discussion and Analysis is a great little synopsis of the year. Okay, so then the next report will be the independent auditor's report, and that's where it says that, you know, we did not identify anything, the financial statements present fairly, that clean opinion. If you were to pull out last year's audit and compare the letter, this letter has changed significantly. The most notable change is that opinion is now first thing in the paragraph where it was buried clear at the very end. So it's nice to know right up in front, you know, that we had a clean opinion. Also, we detail out my responsibilities are as your auditor. What have I been engaged to do? What did I do? And that's detail. It's a full page now of spelling it out in black and white. And so that's a change. The letter also right now says TBD. To be determined. So it'll be dated and issued or submitted the date that you as a board review and approve that audit. So whatever date that is, if it's today, I'll make it today. If it's next week after you have a chance to review it in more detail, it's whenever you guys vote to approve it. And everything else will be dated. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say the requirement, right, is that she brief it to us in this month. Right. So we've met that requirement that we've met. It doesn't go anywhere. We don't send it to the state. We don't send it to the county. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays here.
Do we have an obligation to the county or the state that we need to approve it? Is there a time frame that we need to get to those entities and say we approved it?
No. The documentation that I saw says only that it has to be presented to the board by Jim.
And then the finalization is we approve it.
Yeah, okay. Yes. And we can approve it today.
Okay. Sure. Well, if I get a couple of questions explained to me, then I'm
sure
comfortable.
It is my understanding that it gets submitted to the state.
No, it doesn't.
Local governments don't get submitted to the state?
I think they do because I've received comments. That's when I was initially hired was because there was a significant amount of comments from the state auditor about the audited financial statements prior to me.
So, must go to
have
the
you
state.
Been submitting them every year?
No, I have never submitted them.
Oh, she has always submitted them.
It was always Wendy who would do it.
Oh, I thought I asked you that question that we did not.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood that I don't submit, that Wendy would always take
it. Oh, okay.
Technically, it is submitted to the state.
Yes, that's what I understand.
So it does get submitted to the state.
That's how I understand.
Not the management discussion and analysis.
No. That's for you all. That is your document. Oh, okay. Yes, just
the financial.
The audit
just
itself. The yeah, that okay. is a big bulky one. So, and it gives them an opportunity, too. I kind of get mini audited by them.
Okay. This is what I was looking at, the local government budget.
Okay. Do you want me to move on or do you want to keep looking?
No, you go ahead while I look.
Okay. So the financial statements, when you dig into them to look at it, they're presented both on the fund basis, which is governmental fund accounting, and then what you would traditionally think of nonprofit accounting. Governmental fund accounting is more of a modified approach where we have a few accrual pieces, but it really is to tell you or the readers of the financial statements what our initial cash is and how we cover the future expenses. When you look at your QuickBooks financial statements, they're maintained more in that modified accrual basis. And what that means is the full accrual has fixed assets that are capitalized and depreciated, which what you have in QuickBooks doesn't have that. As you guys incur any large dollar item that would traditionally in a nonprofit be capitalized, you just expense it because you want to know that cash is cash outlay has happened and your cash has been depleted. So you're wanting to kind of operate more on a cash basis. And so that's how your books are kept. At the same time, we do significant adjustments to the accrual basis financial statements for all of the para adjustments. As you all hear, you know, para is under budget and everything. And so we have to assume, if you will, for lack of a better term, that liability on our financial statements, although the organization is not physically liable for that. We're showing this is what's allocated to the library district. And when you look at the whole para organization. And so you'll see that we, you know, move the total assets, what you just say, 2 million mm-hmm. in the full accrual, they're over 4. So that's how much of an adjustment, because we got a building that we're capitalizing and depreciating. We've got land here. We've got land in Kiowa, you know, all of that. And plus all of the books get capitalized and depreciated. So those get put onto the books, as well as our assets associated with the para accounts and the liabilities associated with that. So that grossly overstates both assets and liabilities for the organization. So when you look at that, you're going to go, what the hey? That's why. Okay. And this year also, we had some other items come down in what we call the equity section or the net assets, net position. We have a few grants that we received in 2021 that we were not able to fully utilize, and they were restricted. There were two of them, a small rural library grant. I think we had 3,000 on that, and then 18,000 on the humanities grant. So they gave us the money. They told us how we had to spend it, or better yet, we, you know, filled out a grant application and said how we would spend it. Well, now we're obligated to spend it that way. So perhaps maybe even it's been spent by now. So working on it, huh?
Working on it,
yeah. So there's roughly $21,000 that are earmarked to be used in, you know, the grant will tell us how long we have to spend it.
Was that the stuff we couldn't use during the pandemic? Is that what happened?
Part of it is.
No,
part of it, no, that's the smallest of it.
Oh.
We get an annual grant from the state library, mm-hmm. and it's based on what the legislature allocates. Mm-hmm. And so this year it's like 9,400 and something. And then we also, last year, Tim applied for a kind of a one-time thing that was attached to the COVID recovery, and mm-hmm. that's the humanities mm-hmm. grant. Mm-hmm. That one is substantially more. That one's 18,000. Mm-hmm. And we've got until the end of the month to spend that one. We have until
this month?
Yeah. We have until the end of, we had until the end, well, the 15th to spend the state one. So we've been spending like crazy, except that what I'll be doing is going back and allocating some of my budgeted money to the grant so that I'm going to have some budgeted money left over. I've been too busy to spend money. Isn't that sad?
So the money, the grants have already been deposited in our check. Oh, it hasn't?
No.
Oh.
What happens is that they've given us, and they've said to us, okay, here's how much you have. Here's how you can spend it. Here's how you have to report it. Mm-hmm. When we report it, then we get the money.
Okay, because I was going to say, I've never seen an inflow of any grant.
Doesn't come until we submit our report.
Okay, gotcha.
For the two state ones. Now, the one that I'm working on, the Libraries Transforming Communities, manager's report, I got another extension on that one. Because with all that's happened, there was no way I was going to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they've given me till November, and they did give us cash up front, but that was last year or maybe the year before.
So on the one for that was part of the, what was it, the COVID stuff?
Uh-huh.
What did that have to be spent on?
It's more narrow than what we can spend the state money on.
Uh-huh. We can use that for salaries though, right?
We could. I personally would rather that we not, but we could, because we'll never have that grant again. And so that's going to leave us with a problem next year.
No, but I'm just talking about like, Mary Ellen, like we could use it instead of, like you were talking about switching, you know, accounts or whatever,
yeah.
where maybe instead of spending X, you
yeah.
would use that instead.
Yeah.
But I have to say that Ruben and Kathy both have made expenditures against what we just
said. Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't want to lose any money.
Oh, no, we're not going to lose any. No, don't worry about that. We're buying things that we wouldn't have thought of, like I'm getting a karaoke machine.
That falls under the PPE stuff. Okay.
And I'm getting a scanner so that we can continue to scan our historic photographs and get them into our catalog. That sort of thing that we normally wouldn't be able to get anyway. Last year, one of the things we bought was the sound system, the portable sound system. So.
So moving on from there, we go to the next report is the statement of, well, profit and loss. Let's just call it that for lack of a better term. It's a longer name than that. But again, presenting it with the governmental fund and the full accrual. And so between the two, we show what the reconciling entries are. And again, it's we have depreciation expense and full accrual. Well, on the governmental fund, we just expense the assets directly. So books would have been just expensed. You know, in prior years, you know, the entry to the Kiowa Library would have been expensed by you guys, but we would have capitalized it for the full accrual. So that's an adjustment that we make between the two sets of financial statements, as well as the depreciation expense that happens on the full accrual. And then all of the expense adjustments that happen because of the para adjustments run through there. So that's what is the difference between the two sets of profit and loss statements. And then following that, we provide you with a reconciliation of how we take it from one set of financials to the other. And you can follow that through as to the amounts of assets. Do you want me to open it up to where I'm at? Yeah. So this is essentially the balance sheet, and this is the governmental fund, and this is where we have no assets and none of the para adjustments added into it. You see the large dollars. Mm-hmm. And then on the P&L, these are the adjustments for the depreciation expense and the para expense items. So this is the governmental fund full accrual. And then these reports on the next two pages will reconcile this and that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Clear as mud?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
In other words, we're keeping two sets of books.
Correct. Yes.
Well, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What copy is this? Oh.
Yeah, right. I know. Of course, your QuickBooks just reflect the general fund again.
This draft version 4, right?
Yes.
Because I was going to send it to them. I have
one. Yes. So we're all signed up for QuickBooks already?
No. No, we use QuickBooks, but we don't use online QuickBooks.
Oh,
that's what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So then, do you want me to wait for you guys? Do you have any questions? You want to? No? Okay. So starting on page 16 is the beginning of the footnotes for the financial statements, and these remain pretty consistent from year to year. Note one is any of your significant accounting policies, and really there hasn't been significant changes or anything like that.
I'm emailing it to you now, so you'll have it.
So I'm going to just move over that note one and just address some of these footnotes that will get updated or have been updated. Most notably will be on page 24. We have a footnote number 4, which we call commitments, meaning what obligations does the library have coming down, you know, the future down the pike, or what are we obligated to pay in the future? And so what falls into this category are any leases. And right now you do have a lease on your Simla library. And we have new accounting pronouncements that came out from GASB for any leases. And what used to happen is we would either expense a lease or we had to capitalize it and treat it like a fixed asset. And we're talking, this is just for accrual side. And what we're now having to do is, instead of having the operating lease that is expensed, which what we do with our lease right now, we have to now capitalize that, put it on the balance sheet, and then essentially make adjustments for depreciating it and applying the monthly loan payment, if you will, to a liability. this GASB pronouncement actually came out in 2019, but because of COVID, they deferred all of their new pronouncements 12 months, but this one got deferred 18 months. So any accounting period beginning after June 15, 2021, which means 1/1/2022, has to be implemented. So this is something that I cannot do for you, but I can work with the accountant to do it if it's add that to the list. But we can work together. It's just I have to remain, or whomever your auditor is going forward, has to remain independent from doing this function. So I have a fancy dancy little spreadsheet that we can work on together, or I can send to you and you can update. It's going to be a pretty hefty asset just based on the number of years we've got ahead of us on the lease.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just a four, you know, it's just a spreadsheet that time values it.
So are they saying that we have to write off the lease amount?
Yeah. So what we're going to, you set up an asset called a right of use asset and then a lease liability. So they net. So your balance sheet, again, is just being inflated both on assets and liabilities. And then we amortize the right of use. And then when we make a payment, we reduce the liability.
I know. Yeah. All right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So fun stuff.
I
have a quick question. Yeah. Since I'm taking the minutes, I didn't get introduced to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Mary Ellen Denemy.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Mary Ellen is our contracted CPA financial advisor. She's supporting us on the payroll until
we. Thank you. I want to include you in this.
My apologies, Karen.
Okay.
My apologies, and to Sheila too. But she is supporting us since we don't have a financial admin.
Yes.
And our objective is we want to automate our payroll and automate our timekeeping, and we are looking to outsource
I just never saw her as a real person.
You know what?
There's the myth and the legend.
I know. Because we're so happy you helped us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay, good. My apologies for that.
She and I went through the payroll today and we whizzed right through it. No,
awesome.
No grief. I mean, it was good.
Because you were out of state, right?
I was. I was snowbirding.
Oh, well, good for you.
when President Lampman said, I said, I'm in Tucson. I'm not coming to Denver in the cold. So, UPS got me a disc and I sent it back, and that was the first payroll. That was the first step.
Man.
But then she did the payroll today and it worked, right? Or she's the last few days.
I don't know about everybody.
Everybody else should have got paid because we signed off on all of it and it all matched. And
yeah, that was the easy part.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say the hard part, I left and she just started.
Yeah, the hard part was the bank.
Well, Alan experienced the bank, though. We were there for an hour and a half.
Yes, we waited an hour and a half last
year. Yeah, and you know what? It didn't do any good because when it came to today, they wouldn't do it. They didn't give her authority to do it.
Oh, my God. I was in yesterday and I waited.
You held up your part. There's two halves.
So how did we get around with her?
There's Ruben.
We had to
fall back on Ruben again.
So how are we going to have this problem again next month?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go in there and argue with the bank.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, she tapped away on the computer. I don't know. She was busy on that computer tapping into her files for almost 30 minutes while we sat in her office last Thursday, and looked like everything got fixed, but apparently not.
Well, one lady knows more than the other lady.
Changing the bank account is one thing, but this has to do with direct deposit for employees' paychecks.
Exactly.
And I don't think they went to that level to change. Mm.
They have to send that to their main office.
Mm.
So it goes through the main office.
Okay.
And I don't know where it goes from there, but it's a whole different thing. And it was stressful. But it's done.
Okay. Maybe.
Laurel and Hardy here.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good.
Okay. So after it's important to discuss these things. Yeah. Note 5 starts with our defined benefit pension plan, which is for the para information. This note I do not right that comes from PARA and I populate it with the district's specific numbers. If you have trouble sleeping tonight, I recommend reading that.
Oh boy.
Note 7 moves on. So note 5 was GASB 68, generally accepted. Governmental Accounting Standards Board. GASB, yeah, is note 5. GASB 75 is note 7. And that's for the other employee benefit options. So again, if you're having trouble sleeping, by all means, read through that. Again, I don't write that. I just populate the data within it. Let me see what we have after that.
Is that extra stuff, is that like there's that $100 that a couple of the employees get taken out. Is that what that is?
No, that's a direct deposit for their IRAs. They're just asking us to give them $100 to put in their IRA instead of paying their regular checking account.
Gotcha. Okay.
What it does cover, though, is anybody who may choose to do a 401k plan, a pension plan through PARA. You know, PARA is what is the quasi-Social Security that people pay, but we pay it to the state instead through here. But some people can choose to participate in an additional pension.
Well, it's like my wife, her pension is paid from PARA.
She was a teacher or state or federal or governmental police officer. Yep. If I remember correctly, there were not many people participating in the 401k. Do we have anybody now?
I don't think so.
Yeah, unless somebody changed.
I don't remember seeing it on
I think the people who were have. Yeah. Separated from the organization. So moving on from those notes, our note 9 has the related organizations where we talk about the Friends of the Library and so on. Sometimes we do end up recording those contributions from the Friends that they make for us. So a good example, it didn't happen this year that we're auditing, but the prior year they made a great contribution to help with the Kiowa entrance. And so that was an asset to the organization that we would have had to have paid for otherwise. So that was capitalized and recorded. They've also done like Nintendo stations, you know, other computers, whatever it may be. And so those, if they're large enough dollar items, they end up getting capitalized. If not, we certainly recognize a contribution from them, but we also recognize an expense. And so it just nets on the profit and loss. Next big note is on the Elbert Library agreement that we have with the school there. So that goes through it in detail. No changes there. It's a well-written agreement, so unless it's changed and I'm not aware of it. From there, we talk about Tabor and that the financial statements do include accrual, so there's a chance that the amount we accrued is different than the actual risk that is associated with any assets that we have. So right now, as you all know, we have a lot of money sitting in one bank account in excess of the FDIC limit. The organization being that we're a governmental entity is protected, but we always recommend spreading that money out and having it work for you. And there is limitations as to where you can invest, and because obviously you don't want to go into a risky investment and lose taxpayer dollars. But I sent you the email about that. And I'm sure you guys are going to be talking about, you know, where do you want to spread your money if you so desire. So it's not horrible where it's at. It's just a comment that we still make.
How do you feel about Bitcoin?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. I don't think that's going to be under the approved investments.
It isn't. I read the somewhere I was, Mary Ellen and I were reading about it. So
when we had insomnia.
Did it help?
Yes.
Yeah. Not in a glass of wine.
Reading part of that there might give you nightmares.
We can geek out on this stuff together.
I think much as I looked at it, that I would have memorized it, but I'll be honest with you, I like read it and
fell asleep.
But it's kind of like when you take a class and you're trying to get through the class, you absorb what you need, and then when you're done, you move on.
Yep. I hear you. That's why you have people like this today.
Yes. That's why she reads it aloud to me.
The last note does address COVID still, of not knowing where this is going to go and the effects on our financial statements. I'm really hoping this is the last time we have to have that footnote in here. So you'll see in there, it's called evaluation of subsequent events. It has a TBD in there, and it'll get updated also with the date that the audit is approved. Then the final financial statements or schedules back here is a budget versus actual, to your final and approved budget to the actual. And then the last two schedules are for para as well, where we talk about salaries that were covered, what percentage of para was contributed or quasi social security and so on, and if there were any variances or discrepancies, and there weren't. I mean, para runs pretty tight ship, so you'd be getting notices just like you would from the federal government if you weren't making those payments. So that's the audit in a very quick nutshell. And I told you I wouldn't even be close to 6:30.
Okay, I got one question.
Yes.
Originally, when you first started talking, you talked about $12,000 adjusted. What is that? What does that mean, actually?
Sure. That's a great example. Here, let me give you this. This is our trial balance. And in the first column, let you get it closer. Okay. First column are the numbers that were given to me to start the audit. So when Wendy wrapped up the end of the year with QuickBooks, those were her numbers in QuickBooks. So those would have been the financials that you probably saw prior to the audit. Then the second column are the adjustments that I made to get to the audited financials that are in the first column of the financials that are what I call the governmental fund. And so these would have changed based on what I identified from the audit. And let me just take you back here to the very last page. So right here, first column again is what Wendy gave me. Mm-hmm. But these adjustments swung our bottom line from 457 to 496 to the good. We recognized more revenue, or instead what we did is we had a lot of expenses that were paid in 2021 for 2022. So I moved those to a prepaid expense, thus reducing expenses, increasing bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that means. These adjustments over here are used to take us to.
That's basically the $12,000 right
yep,
there.
That is exactly it. Yep. Okay, yep. Exactly. These are all net zero because I'm making adjustments to get us to our full accrual. So they're all net zero.
So in reality, what it looks like instead of
these will net zero, sorry.
Me thinking that there's $1,000 floating away every month that I didn't see.
No.
$12,000 coming in a lump somewhere along the line that somehow or another didn't show up on the books that you found.
They were here. They were included in expenses here. And I pulled them out of expenses and put them onto the balance sheet as a prepaid. Those then get reversed as some of the journal entries.
I'm not an accountant, but I
we're going to push that expense to 2022 because it's a 2022 service that's being rendered to us.
I feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. And Mary Ellen has made those adjustments already in the QuickBooks.
Okay.
And the biggest one, Treasurer Krennic, is the payroll. You know, because we have payroll, it doesn't run January the 1st to the 31st, it runs the 15th through the 16th through the 15th. So like 6,000 of it was like the transfer of some of that payroll.
Jumped over.
Was pushed to next year.
Okay.
The year we're in right now.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
That's about half of it.
I don't know why we run payroll like that. That is the craziest thing, but
mid-month?
Yeah. I don't know. That's okay. I don't need to. It works. You got it. You got a nail today. We're not going to change anything.
Tied it to the board meetings for some reason.
Yeah.
The signing, I think, originally was from that board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. Since I've been treasurer, I don't like to be signing checks here while you guys are talking. That's the way my predecessor did things. And I'm a little more free with my time. Whenever the gals call me or whatever, I'm there.
That's great.
The only time I'm hard to get is on the weekends if I'm at a dog show or judging.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let me go back to deadline for submission, right?
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I should have read the next line. So it says in by June 30th is the deadline for the auditor, and this is state, right? Local government budget calendar. June 30th, the deadline for the auditor submit the audit report to the local government governing body, which is us. And then July 31st is the deadline for submitting the annual audit report to the Office of the State Auditor. And then it gives a statute, and then it says deadline for request for extension audit is another statute. So we won't have to do that. No. We will be able to submit it.
And of course, you guys don't file any 990s or anything like that because you're a governmental entity, so we don't have to worry about that. So there's no deadline there.
And we will need that deadline because if we did not meet that deadline, so just so you know, if an audit is required but has not been filed, the county treasurer could be authorized to withhold local government tax revenue.
Well, would it behoove us to have an extra board meeting before the regular board meeting in July to get this done, to make sure that we get our stuff to the county quicker?
Well, we can approve it today, but okay. If you want to go read all that stuff that she's told you. I mean, it's up to you.
I'm going to scan through it, but I am not. I'll be honest with you. I won't be able, if I read it word for word, I won't understand it.
Well,
I know my limitations.
I was falling asleep. I had to read it in bed. So, I mean, but we can approve it tonight.
Well, yeah, if the rest of the folks, it doesn't matter to me. I'm free for a meeting, whatever. The rest of people may not be as flexible as I can be. So
here's my input. I don't understand a lot of what's being said. I get the report that you're giving us, and it sounds on the whole like things are fine. I say we go ahead and vote, and then it's done.
Well, that's what I would recommend, that she can take it, she can finalize it, she can prove it to date, and then we can submit it.
You want to take care of it right now?
Are you finished?
Well, I was going to go over two other letters, if we can do that first.
Let's go over those others. So she's done.
So there's two letters that go to you all. Even though, you know, I was initially contacted by Wendy and Tim for the audits and everything, ultimately, you guys are the ones who hire me. So these go to you to give you a good understanding of how the audit went and if there were any items of difficulty encountered through the audit. So that is the first one. And this letter changed slightly from years past, where we've always been required to communicate with you any adjustments we felt were not significant to the financial statements, and we used our judgment not to book, and we had, you know, give those to you and make sure you guys were okay with not booking it. Now, I had none of those this year, so they're not here, but just so you've seen this letter in some formality in prior years. Go ahead.
What's booking it?
Recording it to the QuickBooks.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say maybe I saw that there was an interest in a checking account that didn't get recorded for $2.50. Mm-hmm. It was December interest, but it got recorded in January. Well, I'm not going to make you guys record an adjustment for $2.50. Okay. You know, we're just going to say immaterial, moving on. Sure. But I have to get your approval if I do that. Mm-hmm. And I keep track of those because we try to pass on as many as we can. But if the effect of those to the financial statements are material, mm-hmm. then we have to start picking and choosing which mm-hmm. ones are going to be booked. But I didn't have any. But now we are required to attach the actual adjusting journal entries that were recorded, and Mary Ellen has already recorded, to the financials so that you see them. Mm-hmm. And so that's this letter. It also gives us an opportunity to talk to you about, was information late coming to us? Did we have difficulty working with anybody within the organization? Did we have a disagreement between how something should be handled? The answer to all of that is no. Did we work a lot, and did we have a lot of back and forth? Yes. Did I say up front, this is going to be tough? You know, it's just hard when you put people in the hot seat for an audit that they had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm. I know this board here, mm-hmm. I will say right now, I've been on the board for going on 3 years. This is the first time in that period that I have ever seen any of this. And I don't know if that's scary or not, but it should be, because how it was done before me, I had the feeling that the treasurer and Wendy and the president, whatever, did this and it never got to the rest of the board. We were always in the dark.
I think what happened is that, like, we had 2 years of COVID, right? So I think it came in, and I think Jim probably said, do we have any significant findings or anything that we need to talk about?
We didn't.
And we didn't. And Tim said, no, we don't. And he was like, okay, and then went on with it. And they probably did send it to us. I know some were not always, haven't been always so good about reading what gets sent to us. But I think that's how it was probably handled in the last 2 years.
Because I presented every year prior to COVID.
Because I did go ask her, well, I don't remember seeing this. And can you send me? So she sent me stuff and I was like, oh, okay. So, but we didn't have okay. last year.
Well, I appreciate how the openness, everything is. This is great.
This is important for us, though. This is really our first time,
yes.
right, without a director, even for the managers to really get an understanding of what is included in an audit, what they're looking at, which I don't have problems with audits because it just tells us where we need to improve, right? It's not like I don't go, oh my God, there's an audit. I went, oh my God, there's an audit. I don't know anything that she's going to ask me about.
I mean, I'm on the same side of the fence with you guys.
Yeah. But I mean, Lori was wonderful. She was very helpful. If we didn't understand, if we had questions, she came in, you know, and talked to Ruben and Lori and Kathy and Alan and myself and went over the manager's comments, the weaknesses and whatever they're called. She went over
the deficiencies and material weaknesses.
Right. It's a mouthful. So she did go over that with us and we learned a lot, right? Like we talked about. And in the future, you know, Lori, well, Ruben's gone, but Lori and Kathy, like, and Alan, right? Like now has a better, and myself, now have a better understanding of what is included in an audit. And it's a lot of work. I don't want anybody to think differently. I'm glad we were part of it because it really helped us to understand the workings of what goes on in the library, right?
I'd just like to make a comment, a general comment. Upheaval is not a big enough word mm-hmm. for what has gone on mm-hmm. at every level of this organization.
It has been one thing after another. I know.
And mm-hmm. if you put that in perspective with COVID, you know, just even county unrest, and it has been a mess. And what I appreciate about this whole thing is that we just keep coming back to the table and saying, okay, that was yesterday. Now, you know, we'd like to be more open. Everybody needs, a chair at the table mm-hmm. because it'll happen again if you just have one or two people who are essentially taking care of all of these duties. And then something happens, well, you're right back in it.
We just can't be single-threaded anymore yeah. when it comes to the financial area.
Yes.
We have so much responsibility for the taxpayer dollar that I know we all do, but as the president of the board, you know, I take a lot of responsibility to, I mean, I feel like that's my credibility on the line. I have a full-time job. You know, I was telling Lori, like, if I screwed this up, like, this could affect my full-time job. Like, you know, anything that I did wrong as the president of the board would affect my credibility and my brand, you know, like for my work. And so I take it really seriously. And I know you guys probably go, she's crazy about some of this stuff, but dotting the I's and crossing the T's when it comes to the financials is not only important for me, but it's important for us as a board because we hear the comments that get made in the county. And I want to make sure, and, you know, and I've said this to Lori, that we're like, there's no question, right, like about what we're doing or how we're doing it, and that we're doing, that we're working on behalf of the taxpayers, that we're giving that accountability.
Well, I feel good when I talk to people about how we're, I won't say tight with our money, but we know where the buck went.
Yeah.
And we're not doing frivolous things. And sometimes I think, maybe there's a little more we could be doing. But we're, all of us, a bunch of us are new on the board. So we're getting our feet wet and learning how to make things function. So,
well, and I think, you know, I mean, and Mary Ellen and I have talked a little bit about, and I've talked with Lori, like, you know, we spent a lot of years trying to pay off this building, and we kept salaries low. I will give Tim credit. He was very good about being thrifty, right? And not that we should go crazy, but I mean, let's see, can we go forward? And, you know, our employees are our library. Can we do something to help our employees, right? Can we pay them a little bit more? And we'll talk about that in the director search, about the compensation survey. But can we do things, right, now that we don't have that mortgage on our head, can we do things that, can we take it some time and get some things done that we haven't been able to do? And can we do them and sustain them, right? That's the big question. Just because we have a lot of extra money this year does not mean that, oh, we can go crazy, because at some point we are going to have a mortgage again, right? But we need to take this time to kind of regroup and look at our organizational structure and look at our pay and look across the board and say, what have we done in the past that maybe we can do a little bit differently and be supportive of our employees? So we'll be talking about that next month, but I just wanted you to know that all of those things are being thought about, right?
It's a lot to have on your plate without having the finance person, you know, full time, but, you know, great help here too. And without obviously the library district director. So it's a lot.
But that's okay. We'll get there.
Yes, yes, exactly.
We're measured and
methodical. We just forge forward, as you said, and learn from what we discover. And you're right, to put COVID into the mix and then have two of these individuals who, you know, leave at the same, at a very close time proximity. And then
now Ruben,
let me just throw an audit in and then lose Ruben.
And lose Ruben.
Yeah. So I mean, this is long awaited and ready to be put to rest, right? So the last letter, which is what you guys have seen and I believe discussed quite a bit, is what we're calling that significant deficiency and material weakness letter. I've issued a couple of these in the past, and it, you know, different ways have, you know, we have responses from you guys in the past. We have just the presentation, and then, you know, just kind of an email from Tim kind of talking about how we addressed it, or even from Wendy. Some of these were a little bit more significant than what I've seen in years. The first year I audited, obviously we had quite a few that we worked on, we cleaned up, and we moved forward, and everything was better. Again, I think this is indicative of having some employees dismissing the organization at the end of the year and just not taking the attention to detail that needed to be done in that regard, you know, or a transition and, you know, the district or library managers kind of being thrown into the fire of it and missing some sign-offs because, you know, they're not fully familiar with those internal controls and policies and procedures. And was there anything identified in the monthly payrolls that were concerning? No, it's just, you know, I have to cite that we didn't have it signed off like we should. Now, there were items that I identified in my internal control walkthrough on payroll that I discussed earlier as far as employees being overpaid. Again, not material, but I have to bring that to your attention. So that's what's in this letter. And I'm happy to go over anything that you may have questions on, but you may have, you know, beat a dead horse already on this and feel like you got it good. So.
And I sent you guys the document, so you have it in your email when you get home. You can read through it. You can see the responses back on how we're going to, or how we are addressing it. So,
and I would say a lot of them have already been addressed.
Yeah.
So it's already buttoned up. So,
yeah. And I've given this to Mary Ellen because I want Mary Ellen to make sure that we have the procedures or the processes documented around the financial piece. So that way in the future, right? Like if you win the lotto or something, they can go to a book and go, here's where the policies are that are, you know, or here's where the processes are around the finances. So she's going to help with that, help me with that. And then one of those things that were part of that letter was this. We needed, in June of last year, I don't know if you guys will remember, but we did a transfer of money from one account to another account, right? And I think that's when we were trying to maximize our dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So when we did that, we should have motioned it in the meeting minutes. And that's why I was asking you for the meeting minutes, because I didn't see them posted. So I know you have access to the Google Drive with them. So if you could look for those meeting minutes, like for whatever reason. It's the June 2021 meeting minutes.
June 23rd.
Do you have them?
2021.
Because they weren't posted on our website. And I don't know if when Ruben moved things, maybe they came off or by accident. But if you'll provide those to me, then I can make sure that we, part of that was we needed to, when we did that, we needed to make a motion, and I'm sure we did in the meeting minutes, right?
I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't know if we documented the approval.
It wasn't in the minutes the way it needed to be.
Yeah, I think the motion was just to move the $800,000 and.
It was $500,000 was transferred from the regular checking to the money market account.
Right. Well, it jumped up to $800,000 because of what was in there, and the $500,000 we moved because at the time.
The total became $800,000.
Right. Because when I was doing the reconciliations each month, it really chapped my hide that we were only getting like 36 cents.
Right. Which is fine to do that. We just needed to make sure that we motioned it, approved it by the board, which I'm sure we did, right? But it just didn't get documented or something.
Yeah.
But we needed to motion and approve it. And we should have completed this bank transfer document that I gave you a copy of. I created this today. And we would have put all of this information in here. We would have attached the meeting minutes with the motions and the approvals. And then this would have gone to the bank when we do the transfer. So I've made this document now that we have it. So anytime we do a bank transfer, I put in here, when transferring funds from one account to another, this form must be completed. A copy of the board minutes with approval of the motion to transfer the funds must accompany this bank transfer document and be submitted to the financial institution for any action to take place. And then it gets signed, library director, board president, and the treasurer. So, okay. So I sent that to Lori to put on the Google Drive. So we have that in the future. Mm-hmm. But just, I wanted you guys to be aware that I had done that.
And a copy of that is what would be cited for that transfer. Because of the dollar value, that's another thing we go through. We select a materiality level, and any transaction that has an individual movement of money, recording an expense, transferring money, whatever it may be, gets selected, and then supporting documentation has to be cited from what we call birth to death of that transaction. So birth would have been the meeting minutes of you talking about it. Death would have been me seeing it get moved from one bank account to another. And so that's where these come in handy.
And so this is the final point.
Yeah, so this plus the board meeting minutes show that there was consensus, and then citing the transfer, that it came out on one day and went in on the same day, because we don't want any float.
Right.
But then we question what happened to the money in that time period.
Yeah, because I'm sure Wendy went over and did it, because we talked about it at the board meeting and got it approved, and then she made it happen the next day or so.
And it may be that Jim did a resolution.
But we don't have it.
We've totally revamped that whole thing now since he came on board. And so it was, I guess, loosey-goosey back then.
I think he did some. I won't say that, because I think there were times he wrote the resolution, but I don't know that he got presented or whatever. And that's okay. We're going to fix this one for the record, right? And then, like what we've already done, we've gone back to, since I've been president, and we've redone the meeting. Karen's redone the meeting minutes. She's numbered the motions. We have motions that have numbered associated resolutions. And then those resolutions are now documented. And as I'm going back through meeting minutes, I noticed some things that we had made decisions that probably should have been documented, like in a resolution for a policy. So I may document those resolutions as resolutions and give them to you, even though I won't be.
Let me show you what I've done so far.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's
locked. Can we go ahead while you're doing that? I want to go ahead then. Can we go ahead and somebody make a motion to approve the audit?
I make a motion that we approve the audit as presented for 2021.
Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
All in favor, say aye. Ayes have it. Okay. Thank you so much for coming out here today.
The opportunity to do the audit and to present and not shooting the messenger.
And then you're going to get a final.
Yep.
Final.
PDF. I just need PDFs unless you need a hard copy.
No, that's fine.
The state only accepts the PDFs.
That's fine. We'll get the final PDF then dated today. Mm-hmm. And then I'll make sure Mary Ellen, I don't know. Can you submit it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll send finals to you.
Yeah.
And then you can disperse.
Yeah.
You
see. I will disperse.
I can't recall if they're needing to go onto your website too as transparency requirement.
We have in the past.
Okay.
And that was one of my questions is how much of what we've talked about tonight, how much is public record? Is all of it public record?
All of it is because it goes to the state auditors and then they post it also.
Even the letters?
No.
Not those letters.
Yeah.
No, not the letters.
So not the management discussion.
The financials.
The figures, the balance sheets, that's all public.
Yeah, the notes.
I sent two emails. The second email.
Yeah.
You can publish all of that.
Okay.
The problem is, I hate to say it, in this county, 99% of the people here probably wouldn't know what they're looking at.
Oh, and so
there's only a few accountants and maybe some other very experienced governmental people that might understand things.
But I don't know.
It. That's it. I know the limitations of the folks around me sometimes.
Well, we'll still post it. So
yeah.
We'll wait for its final, not the
right.
draft.
Yeah, and not this one.
Mm-hmm.
Not yeah. this one.
We'll look really good though.
What?
We'll look really good though.
We will.
I've been told that the public record request.
Oh,
yeah. That is a law.
Yeah.
People can request those letters that way.
They can.
But they have to know to request them, the person I just said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway. Okay. If you need me because you have other questions, please by all means, here's a card. But Patty knows how to get a hold of me.
She's on my cell phone.
Just quick dial.
I texted her. Hey, on a Friday with him working, yeah. And you've been so supportive.
Happy to do it. It's a learning process for all of us.
I haven't been texting you after 5 o'clock. So that's Mary Ellen. Like, hey, I have a question.
You tackled a lot, and you guys have done an amazing job. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you.
And have a good evening. Hopefully, you guys aren't here too late.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay, and I'll get this wrapped up by the end of the week for you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see everyone.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. I will try to reduce those AGEs
next
year. Yay. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is a policy update discussion regarding the check signing and writing procedure. So as I was reading through our policies and procedures, which do need to be updated, and we will make sure that when we get a new director that we walk through these with the new director. But one of the things in here that I was reading about is that on the check signing, writing procedures, and financial reporting, it says, all invoices are approved by the library director. Payroll and vendor checks are signed by two of the following: a library director, the president of the board, or the board treasurer. So we don't have a library director, so I want to see if we can make a decision today that we can say the library manager in the absence of a library director, so that way we're compliant with our policies and procedures, what we put in writing. And I can send you this, Karen.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Right now, the library directors have been very, very good of not signing their own stuff, having another library director sign for the other, so that
directors.
Managers. They're now managers. We no longer have an interim director.
Right.
So they're managers. So what I want to make sure of is that we put a little statement in here that says all invoices are approved by the library director. In the absence of a library director, a library manager.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. And then And then the vendor checks, it says signed off by two of the following: the library director, the president of the board, or the board of trust, or the board treasurer. It doesn't say secretary. And so we have you as a signing authority. We don't have me. So it should be the board president. And I'm not saying I want this. Do we want to change this, or do we want to keep it the board president?
Well, that's consistent with the other one, isn't it?
It's consistent with all of the stuff in here, is that it's usually a president, a treasurer, and a director. So if that's the case, then what we would need to do, and Lori's going, oh my God.
Back to the bank.
Go back to the bank and change it to, like, Karen, instead of your name, it would be my name.
Okay.
Do you have any concerns with that?
I do not.
Okay. I'm right down the road, too, and so it might make it easier for signature signing. But I was just reading through all of this and I was like, oh, I did not know this. And I think when we were deciding, I was just like, oh, just give it to Karen, right? But our guidelines say that. So does anybody have any concerns? Okay.
No.
No? Okay.
Do we need to make a motion?
So we don't need to make a motion on that because that's already there, but we do need to make a motion that says, in the absence of a library director, a library manager can approve and sign invoices.
Okay, I would make a motion that we change on our signatures from a direct library director to a library manager to be one of the signers. In the absence of a director, that we have the managers sign for invoices to complete three signatures for each item.
Should we say which branch manager or any branch manager?
I think we should say any branch manager should be able to, is not signing for their own. Manager. Well, it's like Lori signed for Kathy. Kathy signed for Lori on certain things on, like, payroll, so that there was somebody else looking over each other's invoices.
I just think we just say all invoices are approved by the library director, which is what it says, and then we put a blurb that says, in the absence of a library director, a library manager may sign.
Yeah. Okay, well then my motion still stands. Library manager will be the signature instead of the library director on a temporary basis. Is that good enough?
I would say, in the absence of a library director, the library manager is authorized to sign.
The motion will be then, a third signature will be, in the absence of a library director, the managers will be able to sign.
Okay, how about this? All invoices are approved by the library director. In the absence of a library director, a branch manager has authority to sign.
Yes.
That's correct. I accept that.
So you want to make a motion, Karen, or did you make the motion?
I made the motion according to her reading, so all we need is a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Got there.
Aye, scary. Okay, and then Lori,
is there a policy number that refers to, or is it?
It will become a motion, which will have a motion number, which will have a resolution, which will then go to the policy.
But does that policy have a number?
No,
it'll have a number.
Well, this doesn't have a number.
Okay.
It says check signing, writing procedures, and financial reporting.
Okay, it's just a paragraph.
It's just a paragraph.
Bylaws, is that where that is?
This is actually in the policies and procedures that are part of your.
But the motion and resolution are being labeled with numbers based on the year.
Yes.
And the
right
number.
Right. And then what will happen is, I think you have a soft copy of this, Lori. You should, right? And then we can make the update in here, and then we can reference it down here.
Yeah. What has to happen is that somewhere along the line we make note of it. Because what was happening is that resolutions were being made,
yeah,
or actually motions made, and then nobody ever followed up. There we go.
Oh, that's really great.
Yep, that's great.
Those motions are, they're kind of like, they're standing rules.
Right, so what we're going to do is we'll get the motions right, we'll get all the motions documented, right? And then we'll use those motions to go back and see if we need to make policy updates. Yeah.
That's what I need to get my Dunn Club to do is keep a list, keep a file.
We'll have a record of.
Motion, or standing, motions that become standing rules.
In a perfect world, I think that, I would think that either the director or the admin assistant would take the resolutions after every board meeting and incorporate them, and that hasn't been happening.
Yeah.
With a lot of things. And so, yeah.
But I don't think it was happening prior to us either.
I think it was kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. And so we just want to make sure that going forward, and I think that's part of the, we put that documentation as part of the admin position,
yep,
that they'll be responsible for that. So it will get better. We'll get better. But at least we'll have them documented so that they can refer back to them to update this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And those that aren't in here or that haven't been done via resolution, I did talk to Sarah about the fact I had put on my list of things we needed to update policies and procedures. And she said, I would wait. You got so much stuff in front of you. Let the director do that. Let the director go through your policies and procedures. Let the director say, hey, I think we need to make updates to X, Y, Z. And then they'll bring it forward. And then we'll have we can approve it as a board. So anyway, interesting reading. If you haven't read your handbook, you should go through it. You'd be really surprised all the stuff that's in there. Branch manager reports.
You know, to figure out what happened to these missing minutes and why they aren't on the website.
Don't worry too, I have a list and I'll follow up with you too.
Yeah, June 23rd, 2021, and it happens to be the one that she had
a copy of it. So I don't know where she got the copy.
Well, I would imagine there are copies of them, probably
paper either, copies.
Yeah. There's probably in the it's been a long day. In one or the other of the computers.
Yeah.
But I've got to ask Ruben if he has figured it out, because they should all be there.
I mean, isn't there a Google? I mean, there's a Google Drive she goes to and she does the minutes.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I don't know how far back they go.
Oh, they go back to 2021 because she pulls them. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where I asked for access to the Google Drive, not to your Google Drive where you have all your stuff, but to the access to where the minutes were. And I don't know that Ruben got that back to me.
Here's what happened. When I first started back as secretary again, I was doing Microsoft Word, which was baloney, terrible, horrible. And so I said to Tim, what can I do these minutes? He goes, do Google Docs. And Ruben helped me out at some point. I finally got on and it just worked like a charm. So.
But who owns that Google Drive? Is it your drive?
I guess it's mine.
Yeah, I don't think it's part of ours.
Oh, okay. So you have to give me access. Well, you can just give it to me.
Every time I send it to you, I give you that.
That you do. But it's just for the document. Like, I need access to the folder.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. So
I have to walk you through it.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of the library Google Drive.
So okay. I should be using the library's Google Drive.
Well, I don't know how he set you up.
I don't know that that's a great idea either.
They can have separate ones. We can have separate ones that, like, just for meeting minutes, right?
See, either I call Tim or Ruben to find out what I'm supposed to do.
I can help you with it. We'll look at it.
I'm old school.
That's okay.
You're on Google Drive. You're not old school anymore.
I really like it.
She's up on plane, Ruben, but hasn't really started flying.
Yeah. I just made a note. Okay.
But I need to go back and look. I'm looking at those minutes too, because I want to make sure we document things that need resolutions. We're not going to go back and redo those minutes because I wasn't the president,
But we'll go back and pull the decisions made from those and we'll
highlight them and get them incorporated where they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So your branch manager's report, ma'am.
See, a couple of things. Summer reading is going smashingly. Kiowa had their first program the week before last. They had 22 people, which is like a crowd for Kiowa. It was a lady, a magician who came dressed as a pirate, and everyone had a wonderful time. And she will be here with us the Saturday after 4th of July. So that's happened. We're having to get checks written to these presenters in some cases before we've gotten invoices, which is tricky, but these are folks, you know, who kind of work out of their basement. So it's kind of a tricky
thing. Can I invite you before?
I don't know how it's happened before, but Jen and I are working on it.
Okay. So we definitely need invoices.
Yeah.
We don't want to get into the situation at the end of the year where they do the audit. We don't have an invoice for payment.
Yeah, no, it's strongly
wrong. I've got three of those in your official decision.
Yes, you do.
With a sheet of your people.
Yeah. And I told Jen we have to have invoices. We have to have bills. Let's see what else. Lots of people doing summer reading, more than I think I've ever remembered. And it's another one of those things that got kind of skipped over in transitions. Chelsea took care of the back part of summer reading, and it just really didn't get done. And we realized when somebody came in and said, how do I sign up for summer reading? It's not on the website. And I just was horrified because it'd been going. But Jen, new Jen, got it fixed up, and you can see it's on the website. And if you hit the link, then there's our page with all kinds of cool stuff. So that's going well. Lots of kids. I think a lot of the new folks who move in south of us, of course, are younger, and they have kids, and they come in and they want to do summer reading. So that's extremely cool. Something came through today that I thought I had licked, and then Kathy said, wait a minute, you should ask the board. And I went, oh, yeah. The federal mileage amount has gone up. This just happened in the last couple of days. It was 58.5 cents a mile. It's gone up to 62.5 cents a mile on the 1st of July. I was congratulating myself because I've created a new form with the new amount. And then Kathy said, wait a minute, does that have a budgetary? So do we have to?
I don't think we need to approve it because I don't think we have it defined.
So the new rate is 62
and a half, and it was 58.5. Well, it is 58.5 until the end of this month.
Applicable in certain trips or something?
It's mileage reimbursement. Like, for example, if Kathy comes to Elizabeth, she documents her mileage and she gets reimbursed. It's mileage reimbursement.
Okay.
I don't think we had, I'm going to go back and look. I don't think we had a number. I think we just said whatever that mileage reimbursement amount is because we can't deviate from that.
Yeah. So I mean, I get charged the 62.5?
Well, yeah, you're going to go up a whole 4 cents if that's going to make a difference for you.
Well, it will because what I get paid when I'm a judge, because I get paid mileage going to the airport and coming back.
If it's based on the federal, then that's what that would change.
No, he's talking about for dogs.
Our budget, Lori, for travel allowance is $7,000, and I think we're not even close.
Okay.
Not even close.
All right. So now I don't have to worry. I can continue to congratulate myself.
And I will go back because Mary Ellen mentioned that to me the other day that it had gone up. And so I was going to, I think when we talked about it and did that motion early on, that what we did was we just said that we would reimburse the mileage, right? Versus doing like some
fixed amount. Then you have to change every time.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then it's all taken care of.
Just so you know, we just spent $1,160 and we have a $7,000 budget.
That's likely to go down, knock on wood, because Kathy won't be here as much. Now, on the other hand, Susan, the tech lead in Kiowa, will be back and forth here more because
that's only 8 miles compared to.
Well, she'd be going to Elbert too.
Okay.
You know, we're discovering stuff that Ruben did that we knew he did, we just didn't think about it.
Okay.
And moving stuff from branch to branch is one of them. We have posted two job opportunities. One is the 30-hour person that that the board talked about for Kiowa and Elizabeth Split. That closes on the 30th of June. We've got two applicants. That's essentially a new position, and we're not quite sure how we're going to split it between the two branches. It really has to do with how thinly staffed they are in Kiowa right now. We're going to have to talk to Susan about that and find out how tight they are. Then the other is that Kiowa currently has a 10-hour a week person who goes back to school in August. And so we need to replace her. So those are both posted now. That will help us here in Elizabeth. We have too many hours, in my opinion, where people or where staff are here alone. And I've always not been happy with it because it's a safety thing. But more than that, we're busier and busier. And one person, especially on the days when the courier comes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or on Saturdays when we're very busy in the mornings on Saturday. We didn't used to be.
So is that going to help you with that, or do you need another one?
No, that's going to help us.
Okay.
That'll get us there.
Okay.
Kathy and I were talking today, and you and I have been talking, and we now have a job description we're all comfortable with, so we can post for an admin assistant, which I would really be happy about, because some of the stuff I'm doing is Wendy's old work. Some of it is Tim's. Some of it is Ruben's. I'm doing four people's jobs right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just having somebody to do some of the
administrative paperwork stuff would be a big help for you.
So Kathy and I talked about that, and of course I whined and said, we can post these things. I don't have time to interview anybody. And she brought me up short and said, nope. We can't complain if we're not posting the jobs. I said, okay.
And I will help you interview if you want help.
Full time.
No. One 30-hour person, one 10-hour person, Kiowa Elizabeth. The admin assistant will be 20 hours.
But what I said was you can do part-time up to 30 hours scheduled, and she can offer between 15 to 16.50 depending upon experience.
Yeah. And my sense of that is to start on the low side of the hours until we have a director, because the director and the admin will work closely together.
True.
And we can't guess what the director is going to want.
And that doing it at 30 hours, right? We don't have to pay like a full-time employee, right? So we're saving a little bit of money in that regard. Yeah. But then when the director gets hired, the director can make a decision whether they feel they need a full-time person or not and go from there.
Yeah. So talking about this, the two jobs that are posted now, they close on the 30th, which means that pretty soon I'll start doing some interviewing or at least some sorting. Then we're going to post the admin assistant on the 24th. That's Friday.
Wonderful.
And we would like to post the branch manager for Kiowa. That's a little trickier because we don't have a director, but keeping in mind that the Kiowa branch manager also manages Elbert. Not such a big deal during the summer, but it will become a big deal. And Elbert folks have really not gotten great service the last month because the school district changed the internet system and didn't tell us. So Sandy, who is our mm-hmm. Elbert person, mm-hmm. would go, and she not only couldn't do email, but she couldn't do anything that required a computer, which meant checking in, checking out.
That would be great.
Yeah, it was tough. But then we found out that everybody was affected, as including the teachers. The teachers were as upset as we were. So we thought, hey, teachers will make bigger noise than us. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll put that up on the 15th. We'll close the admin assistant on the 8th. We'll interview on the 18th of July. We'll close the branch manager position on the 29th of July. I'm not sure that's long enough. That's 2 weeks, and I don't know if that's going to be quick enough, but we'll see. And then a tentative start for the admin assistant on the 1st of August. With a tentative start for the branch manager on the 22nd of August. This, I don't know that for sure we're going to be able to keep up with this, but at least having a timeline means that I can't whine anymore. I got to work on it. So it doesn't mean I won't whine, but let's see, what else do I have?
You can always drink wine.
Well, I do that anyway. I think that's all I've got. Gonna make sure. Ruben and Kathy and I are still regularly texting and on the phone because as life goes on, we discover things that Ruben knew that we didn't know. But that's okay. We're all besties and we can just.
I'm texting him too.
Yeah.
Gil and I am too, honestly.
Yes. Well, we're all texting each other. So, but anyway, things are going well. We're very busy. Kathy said she's very busy in Simla, and we didn't really expect that because we don't expect the population increase, but it is busier and busier. And as I said, the summer reading program in Kiowa really attracted a lot of folks. Our story times on Monday mornings here are getting so big that we may have to move them into the meeting room because Jen is now regularly getting 30 people.
Wow.
Moms and kids. Yeah, oh, it's a great thing. But man, that's pretty close company.
I've done it a couple of times I've been here. Some moms come in with two or three kids.
Oh, yeah. And some moms come in together because it's their mom time.
They
together.
Don't leave kids, though, right?
No,
they're not allowed to.
Okay, good. I was reading that policy too.
No, we do not.
Do we leave kids in the library?
No, we do not.
And they don't do that at Simla either, right?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't want to make sure. Because I was reading the rules. I was like, I didn't know that.
Well, the trickier thing in Simla and Kiowa both is that they're across the street from schools, and so right. They don't come in with moms necessarily.
But it's not little kids.
But the little kids, it's.
I was looking at where it says the child under three.
Yeah, no.
Or the
no.
child 3 to 7.
No. Okay. No. 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 We don't do that.
Okay.
And that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lori. I know you're carrying a lot. This has been a hard week.
Yeah,
it's been a tough week, but hopefully we'll address that. I have other items of business I want to discuss when it comes there regarding this. So, okay. A director search update. So I did talk. So two things. After the last meeting, I sent a note to Mountain States Employers Council to do a compensation survey. They can just answer me. I have an appointment on Monday in the morning, so I'm going to have a talk about a compensation survey. Not only can they help us from a director perspective, like we talked about, but also from an employee standpoint, because we start budget planning in June, and I want to be able to look at what we're paying our employees and what is like a comparable rate that's happening in the district, right? And so anyway, I have that meeting on Monday, and then I'll make sure and bring that back what I find out, because if it's a cost, which it will be, then I'll need to bring that back, and we may need to have a special meeting to vote on it. But the other thing is I did talk to Sarah this week. She did say, right, that she was really busy. So this week she started looking at the director position. And so she's going to make the adjustments, and we'll be sending that back to us. And then you should check your email, because Lori did send like a job posting, right? You did like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
You sent like a job posting and just kind of like that opening, like how to like a tag to bring people in.
Yeah.
So go look at that. And then I may ask for help from the creative people in the room. Like, you know, what are your thoughts about this? And do you have some idea, like a tag line we could put at the top? Just get your opinion, see what your thoughts are. Anyway, when I hear back from Sarah on the job posting, then I'll probably reach out and say we need another meeting to talk about next steps. Right on the process. But she's working on the job description right now. Any questions about that? Okay. Retention pond status update. Robert.
Well, let me take this offer. I'd like to say that I have some definitive information for you about it. What we have learned is that the town of Elizabeth was the custodian of all of the drawings on this building, on this lot, the retention pond, any records or anything came from them. Unfortunately, this all comes, and of course, you know that Elizabeth government works with the speed and deftness of a glacier. It's astounding, and I won't spend a lot of time with this. It's astounding how the dichotomy that you see in Elizabeth government, because you see a group who is poised to grow, but is in the process of going from really small town to, you know, they're in the middle of a gigantic growth spurt. And they take all of their positions and they outsource them. So people that don't even live here, that don't even know the names of a lot of the employees, et cetera, are in charge of code enforcement, et cetera. And again, nobody has any real status yet as to where all of these records should be kept. So Alan was kind enough to go and get copies made, which I started going over. The problem with it is that we, you know, had a rodeo, and you know that slowed everything down by over a week right there, just getting copies. Then when we get them, as I'm going through them this morning, this afternoon, some of them make absolutely no sense. They're it's on a lot somewhere, but not on those lots. And so we're going to have to go through this. The one thing that it was driven home to me by a lawyer friend of mine is that we can say anything that we want, but now that all of the board members and the library staff knows that we have a retention pond out there that is the legal term, an attractive nuisance, we have to do something. And to my mortification, when I called the fire department and I asked them, okay, what are you requiring of us? They said, well, I don't know. You know, we hate to have you pull out a building permit to put up a fence. We don't want you to have to spend that kind of money. Like, before she could finish that, I was sitting there saying, there's got to be some code. If you're trying to keep people away from an attractive nuisance like this, what would it be around a swimming pool? 6 feet chain link. How wide would the gate be? I don't know. 3 feet? I'm going, so you're going to carry everything through a 3-foot gate, or are you going to drive into the retention pond to save the child that's drowning? We just don't have any other choice but to put up a fence that is at least meets the standard of a swimming pool and put some signage on it that says keep away. Well, I don't know how we haven't had an issue up to this point. And man, am I because that it just is a disaster waiting to happen.
So can we get some invoices, or can we get some
Alan and I were to talk about this tonight to get the ball rolling on that. He's done some homework on that.
I know Mike Gaither does it,
Yep, I've talked to him and he's told me that when I give him the go ahead, he would come over here and give us a bid a couple of different ways. Because I'm going to talk to Robert about a way that we might be able to make the retention pond. If appears to be no rule in there that says we can make it less of a hazard, but we still need to have the fence. And so,
or we could make a swimming pool.
Well, we joked about the hot tub situation, but it is, when I went back there and saw it for the first time, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, my God, how have we got away with not having a fence or some kind of a way for a person to get in and out of this place if there's a hell of a lot of water? And or even if there's no water and the kid gets in there, a small kid can't get out. I mean, it's 5 foot high sides. There's no ladders, nothing anywhere. I can't believe that pond got built with none of that stuff right from the get-go.
Good question. So did the city or fire department, whoever, they said they had no idea what the code is for that fence?
They were real vague.
Okay.
We know that they would require if you built a swimming pool.
Oh, okay. Swimming
pool. That's the only thing they could give me.
Well, so, it could be a swimming pool.
Well, that's it. And Alan and I will go back and forth on whether we put slope sides on it or, you know, to make it so it'd be easier to get out of the water. But the bottom line is we have, I think, I've got to go over the insurance and I have to talk to you about that, Lori. What kind of coverage we get for this?
Do we have coverage or what I had said to Robert?
I'm sure there is some sort of coverage.
We probably have liability, but
it isn't. I don't think it's going to be sufficient because there's no record of this thing.
Jeez.
What I think we have to do is we have to contact the insurance company and say, we have this retention pond.
Exactly.
We're going to fence it. We just found out about it. We just realized it. We're going to fence it. Do we have a requirement? Let them tell you, like, well, you've been, in order to be compliant, so protect you from insurance, you're going to have to put a 6-foot fence around it and you're going to have to put signage on it. Okay. Is there an additional cost associated with having that on our property that we need to adjust?
Now, see, before we didn't have 70 or 80 houses immediately adjacent to us within a block and a half. I mean, that's in my mind, that's how we've gotten away with nobody ever having a problem. Because sooner or later, we're going to have little we're going to have little kitties.
Rugrats
walking across here to Safeway, and they're going to go by that. Oh, that looks like an interesting place to go mess around. And my thought is before the end of summer, we need to get this problem fixed. Because we're in the prime time now. Kids are out of school. So far, I have not seen anybody migrating across the field, mostly because there's a heck of a lot of construction down there. And they have pretty much, I'm sure the parents have told their kids, you don't get anywhere close to that big equipment. But sooner or later, that big equipment.
Go jump up in the tractor.
Yeah. Well, but that's sooner or later, that equipment's going to go away and that's going to be a super highway.
I'm curious, do you know who put it there and why?
No.
There's usually a purpose for a retention pond. I'm not saying we did.
Right. And if up to this point, Sheila, there is nobody who has actually come forward and said, this is why it's here and this is who's in charge of it.
Nobody knows.
I have talked to Wendy. I asked her about it.
Oh.
And she said it was here before the building was here.
Okay.
So it wasn't, I don't think it was something that was built as part of the building.
But it's our property.
But it is our property.
Right.
I think our friend down the road here who sold us the site.
Okay.
Probably.
So really ASAP, we need to get the guy in to do a bid.
But we do need to have a couple of bids.
Well, we need several bids because to be.
A minimum three.
Yes. Minimum. So I've got one line up and
And
I've got Chad is the fencer.
Chad.
You knew another one, so between the three of us here, we've got, I think, the three bids, and I will contact Steve tomorrow and get things moving so that by the end of the month, or by July 4th, we'll hopefully have some stuff to be able to talk at the next meeting.
So do they need to come to a meeting? Can they give it to Laurie?
So I think you should gather the invoices, and then if we need to call a special meeting to approve the expense, then let me know. We'll call a special meeting to approve the expense.
So these folks.
It won't take long once, you know, now that we've got the plans and everything else.
I want you guys to be in front of it. And the reason why I say that is Laurie doesn't need one more thing on her plate.
Thank you.
So
Robert, you too.
The only other thing is I have a $72 bill I'd like to get reimbursed. So if I submit that to you, we'll make out a PO, or can I give that to whoever? And will you be around tomorrow?
I will.
Okay, so I'll bring that in, and we'll start that paperwork.
Yes, sir.
And whenever
and
the next
Friday,
paper
when you
comes,
come in,
yeah,
you sign
cool.
the check for yourself.
Cool.
Okay, so do we need a motion that Robert's going to be the person that's going to receive these bids?
I don't think we need to motion that.
That's fine.
No.
Well, Robert and I are basically a committee, and we're only two of us because we can't have three together because it's a sunset problem.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, you guys can just go do that and bring it back to the board.
And if it's okay with you guys, and I didn't want to just walk away with these, I want to go through these. I'd like to be able to either take part of the plans, and you can take part of the plans, we can exchange, whatever. But I need to go over these because there's some parts of it that are just not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. Like, just don't let your birds eat them.
Yeah. Yeah, they end up at the bar.
For the dogs.
I think would save me a lot of brain damage is if you go over the things, find the things that you think are weird, and you and I will get together and have a meeting and discuss those weird things.
Yeah, like some of these are just an idea.
Yeah.
And Okay.
So that's it.
Okay.
Are you going to call Chad, or you want me to call him?
It doesn't matter. I'll call him if you'd like. I've got his number. Okay.
I will get with Steve tomorrow.
Okay.
I guess you can just notate the board members took action to get invoices for. Okay, so the next one is the building expansion planning meeting update. So we had to move the one meeting.
Yeah.
What's that? Just got real quiet.
But you guys had actions that you were working on. So do you want to give a status on those? And then I have a recommendation of something I'd like to see us do.
To be real honest, most of my focus has been on this stuff over here. Now this goes back to the division where Sheila and I are supposed to be gathering information to, you know, how we get this information out to the public. Sheila may have more ideas than I do at this point, but we probably need to meet and discuss what ideas we do. Although I will say this, I've floated a few of the ideas that we talked about we talked to the town administrator. The one that floated his boat with the greatest buoyancy was having some sort of a theater-type lecture hall / choir hall, whatever kind of thing. That was the one that he was excited about. And that is probably because, and I don't have any problem saying this, the senior citizen facility that's in the plans, it will be adjacent to our property. And that is something that they're very excited about. And then we also then will, that will cause Sheila and I to have to talk somewhat about getting together with the administration of the town to discuss What do you have, you know, you keep talking to us about you want to share, but we got to make sure that our visions are closely enough related. You know, I'd love to talk to you about senior citizens, what you might foresee, but I also need to know, you know, which we've been assured that there would not be a need for a bailiff or a metal detector or anything like that. But is that, you know, consistent with the library thing? Do we want to have a court? Or is there something else that they see that they may want to throw on this very novel idea at this point?
When you were talking to Patrick, I think it was just an informal conversation, and maybe we should be talking to Patrick about how to begin a formal proceeding. Like, who's going to speak for the town? I mean, because we're not going to sit down with all of the trustees, I'm sure.
No.
But so the question is, like, who?
Well, again, I think what we'll probably have to do, Sheila, is talk to the town administrator and the mayor, and see if they would like to sit down with us for a meeting. And at that point, you know, things will start to get real.
Mm-hmm. The problem is right now, the city administrator that we talked to, he wasn't even aware that there was a memo or anything left over from when the CO was given on this building. And I've been told by a former council member that there is a memo sitting out there that the city wants us to have certain things done here before we do anything else to this building. And that bothers me because nobody has shown me this darn memo yet.
Okay, well, that's
and that's something I think you two guys need to.
So what I'll do is I will call you in the next day or two, and we'll set something up and get more formal with this.
Can I recommend that we put out an RFP for a feasibility study? We can do all the things that we're doing, but to do a feasibility study, then we would have somebody who can, you know, document the practicality of this project, you know, have the historical information, pull together what, you know, kind of the things that we're talking about, and then tell us the things we're going to need to think about that we don't know.
Well, I don't disagree with that whatsoever, but I think until we hone it down a little bit, a feasibility study without even having sort of addresses, names, and, you know, people that they're going to contact in order to start putting a formal feasibility study together is maybe a little premature, but
maybe down the road a step or two.
Well, I'm just worried that we've set aside some money to start this work. We're into June. We need to do something.
Well, I think the retention pond is going to be the first project.
That's first
is going to.
But we should be able to do things in parallel.
Right. Well, when you guys have your meeting with the city, they're talking about using a design group from DU. The kids there will come out and help with the design. And my thought is, maybe we can cabbage on to that same group to help with our design situation. That way it lends us some credibility. We had several architects type or people that are studying to be architects helped with the design so that the general public out here can't say, well, who dreamed up this project?
As long as it doesn't extend it by
20 years. Well, yeah, right.
We've got to get on top of it.
There's a time constraint because that same group, they're involved with the senior center. And
Well, it would be good to use that group, right? And instead of us doing one thing and the city doing one thing, that we have some collaboration and
that's
something that is enhances each other, right? We haven't had those discussions yet about are we going to work together or not, right? Well, but I'm just trying to.
And they haven't given us much to work with.
The biggie thing, the senior plan that the plan we saw with their senior center, the biggest glaring thing that I saw right away with that, they have a senior center with almost no parking. And Robert and I talked about this. Are they planning on using our parking? What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, I guess we need that list of things that we have to do before we could do anything to the building, because my understanding from previous history was that was pavement. Somebody said we had to pave the parking lot before we could do anything. And why would we pave the parking lot if we're going to expand the building?
Well, we're not. I don't think we're going to increase the footprint of the building, but the memos, which I think you guys
need to put down.
I don't think we have plenty of building here to. There's a lot of stuff to expand here, especially if we put a second story. And the trick is how to use a second story, because looking at the Parker Library, their second story where they have books is a real problem for them, because it's carting up and down.
Well, if you use the second story, you'd have to have an elevator.
Well, exactly. But they have an elevator. The problem is I'm thinking second story is meeting rooms. And
you still have to have an elevator, though.
I know, but it's not books.
Okay.
There's a lot of things.
I think we need a meeting.
Yep.
To talk about building expansion, and I'm trying to get us to a starting point, and get us to move some steps forward. I had mentioned
a concept before, a feasibility study. Because what are we asking them to find out?
Okay, so is that what we're going to do? Is it going to work on we're working on a concept.
Well, I think we need to talk to the city and get more information, because I think you're right. We ought to be, if we're going to be neighbors, let's talk about doing something complimentary. See if that's even possible. That's right. An initial thing. Then we need to be doing we need to be finding out what works and what doesn't work in other facilities. We need to also
exactly.
Be starting to glean information from the community about what the community wants.
Exactly. And to go back to your thing about somebody saying that we would have to pave the parking lot and stuff like that, at this point, that's just pie in the sky for somebody, because until you can say to them, this is how many people you might have here on any given day, they can't really tell you what your parking should be.
Well, and the other thing, I know, you know, like we have 5 acres and we don't want to just plan for now. We want to plan for growth. We know we've got these houses coming in. We've got those houses coming in. Like this footprint is not going to be enough.
Right now, there's no plan even for water coming off the adjacent property that they're piling dirt over here and.
And I can tell you that's going to be water that's going to go a lot faster and a lot more directed
to the retention pond.
Yeah.
No, I think you got to do the retention pond. I'm not telling you don't do the retention pond. I'm just saying
it's going to go right by our retention pond, because it's on a different ravine.
Okay, so let's
part of work that we have to do when we do our expansion is we're going to have to do a study of of the land load here.
We do need to find out what, and that's really difficult. What we're learning is that since the mayor is only there when she's not at her real job.
I can relate.
She doesn't even have an office at the city county building.
I can relate.
City building. I mean,
so
two blocks away.
we do, it is like herding cats a little bit, but Sheila and I will hone in on this.
Do we want to schedule? Let's schedule another building expansion discussion. Can we do that?
I think it needs to be towards the end of next month.
I would say we need at least 3 weeks.
Okay, I am.
To have enough range where we can make some meetings. And work our schedules around it. Is that enough for you?
I'm out of pocket for the next 3 weeks. This I have my first festival this weekend, family reunion.
How about in August?
Week after is my second.
Okay, August.
How about August?
The first week in August.
So I can't do the first.
Toward the end of July, I'm better.
Can we do August 12th?
Okay.
I just want to get something on the books.
Okay, I would.
13th?
The Saturday, 12th is a Friday, 13th is a Saturday.
No, I can't do Saturday.
Let's do the 12th then.
I didn't know what day that was. I know that the Executive Committee for the Judicial Conference of the United States is in my office on that Friday.
Okay.
Oh, that's not good then.
I'm going to be in my office on that Friday.
Well, what's the next, what's?
19th?
Sure.
So let's schedule the next meeting for August 19th. What, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock?
Make it 2 o'clock. And I'd like to put a caveat on this. If we uncover something significant that we can maybe schedule either a Zoom or something.
Okay.
Okay, but before then, because I think whenever this breaks and they actually start saying things to us, it may move a lot faster.
Talking about the retention pond?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. If on the retention pond, we need to pull together a quick Zoom meeting to have a decision on.
Okay.
We can do that.
I would like to make a suggestion. Rather than a feasibility study, I think maybe a needs assessment would be better.
Maybe a needs assessment.
Feasibility.
I like that.
I like that.
And before we do very much work with or communicating with the town on things other than the retention pond and whether we're going to get flooded out by the people next door, I think we have to be really clear on what we want. And if they have something they want, then we can see if it fits in.
Yeah.
But what comes first is what we want, and I don't think we've gotten there yet.
I would agree.
Not even close.
Yeah.
But you do have that list from Lori of things they want, and I keep that close, right? You got that last time at that meeting. I want you guys to keep that on the forefront.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure you guys. 2 o'clock, August 19th. 2 to 4. Okay.
Thank you, Lori. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you. A needs assessment. Thank you. We need to start something.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think either click consortium, library where Sarah's from, or the state library is going to have an idea as to who could do that. I don't think we want just a land planner doing it because they don't understand about libraries. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's going to.
That's why I keep saying if we can finally get our horses all going in the same direction, yes. We need to meet with other libraries that have done this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can reach out to Sarah and to the state and I can ask them their thoughts and bring that back to you guys.
Well, I'd like to go see a couple of deals that other areas have done. And it's turned out well because I'm told that there's a couple places in the state.
The one I told you was in Basalt.
There's also one in Glenwood Springs that they did not too long ago. Meeting room.
Glenwood Springs.
Okay, so.
Sarah's going to know who's got a new building, who'd be.
I think I have the action. Okay. I'll take the action.
So we're done on that. Thank you.
Okay. And we have, and put this in your calendar, August 19th, 2 o'clock from 2 to 4. We're going to have a working meeting on building expansion planning.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Maintenance updates. I'm bringing this up because I think there's still a problem with the locks on the front door, right?
Not that I know of.
I wasn't aware of. I thought they got all fixed.
Are they? Working appropriately?
I haven't heard any problems. Keys are matched now and.
And they're smooth coming in, no problems?
The back doors is miserable. The repair on the back door, you cannot come in the back door with one hand. And anyone coming.
On this side door here or the one in the warehouse?
No, the one here. And I've already talked to the locksmith about it when he came and made us more keys. We went from a difficult door to a really tough door. Anybody coming in that back door, any of us, has our arms full. We have books, we have our lunch bags, we have our purse, and it cannot be opened with one hand.
Mm.
And I talked to him about that, and he explained to me in great detail that it has to do with the spring and the push bar. And I kind of said, I don't care what it has to do with. We can't get in when our arms are full. And his answer was, well, you could put a keypad on it. I have no idea how much that would cost. But
probably more than what's there.
Yeah. And I understand putting the push bar on was necessary, but I do start every morning cranky. Because I have to set my things down, and if it's rained or snowed the night before, everything
is okay. This, which door is this actually?
It's the back door, the door that all employees come in.
On that side?
Right back here.
Inside? Oh. Is it inside the, which one are you talking about?
It's outside. It's outside, yeah.
The one that goes to the parking lot, the side parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that door. That door. Uh-huh. Okay, that door, the back door.
That door.
It's an inside door.
No!
Okay. Just tell me, do you get when you go through the door, are you outside?
It's this door right here.
Okay.
It's that side door right there.
It's the south side front door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we just put a roof over it?
No.
And give you a table?
No, I'm kidding. Well, I'm kidding. You're laughing. I've talked about that. I've talked about,
okay, I'll talk to him tomorrow and ask him. I'll find out what a keypad is, and then I'll give you a call and let you know, and I'll talk to him and
remind him that there's probably more lock work to do in the future. So please be cognizant of that as you're, trying to make your money off of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but we are secure. There's nothing to worry about.
No, I just understood there was maybe some problems with some door locks.
It's this one, and it's a son of a gun.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure we get it fixed because we paid money for that. So if it's not working right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to come by tomorrow, and I'm going to take a key, and I'm going to go find out how bad it is. And if I
have
if you hear a lot of banging over there, it didn't go well.
Have stuff in your arms so that you can only use one hand.
Okay.
A couple dogs.
I brought me 1 month.
Next, so do we have any public comment?
No.
Okay.
I have one comment, and this is an apology. I've been texting back and forth with Kathy, and she's very annoyed with me because she was logged on. So she was listening, and I didn't, we didn't ask her to give a report about Simlin.
I didn't know we had anybody on.
And that's entirely my fault.
Ooh.
Okay.
Is she gone?
Is she still on?
And
she's
very kind.
Please pass on our apologies.
Well, I told her that it's my fault, but it does bring up something that I want us to think about. These hybrid meetings are a bear cat for staff to run.
I didn't know we were doing hybrid meetings.
I didn't either.
What's a hybrid meeting?
I just thought we were recording.
Just because we had the speaker sitting out there.
Well, but that's always going to be there because we're recording.
It helps me get things clear.
I don't think we should have hybrid meetings.
Okay.
I don't think we should. I think they're too difficult to try to manage. We're here, we all can be here. If people want to come, they can come here.
Yeah.
Right. But we're just recording. I mean, we've been doing, I didn't know we were doing hybrid meetings.
Yeah. Every notice that we've put up where it says,
I just thought that was a links. I don't know why I saw that and I didn't know what that was.
It was that people could attend.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And we were all aware of that when we were all on our separate computers at home.
Right.
But when we've been here, it's,
right.
Now it'll be a little more difficult when somebody's out of town and wants to attend.
Mm-hmm. Then if it's a board member and we need it for a quorum, we'll make an exception.
Yeah, but it won't be the public.
The public is noticed and they can come to the meetings here.
That would make me happy because I feel terrible for Kathy. It was entirely my fault, but
I had no idea. Please tell her we didn't know.
I may have to make a trip down there just because I haven't been down to Simla in a while to view the situation.
Okay, I do have another item of business for the board members to address. So, in June, at the end of May, the middle of June, this last pay period, Lori gave up the interim director. Kathy stepped down from the financial admin, and we were paying them additional monies for that additional support. But Now that we don't have Ruben, what I'd like to ask the board, I'd like to recommend to the board that even though we don't have an interim director, Lori being at the district, having to deal with all the stuff an interim director, I would like to continue to pay that additional amount of $1,500 a month until we get a director to her, you know, have her continue to have that pay until we get a director for the extra effort and work that she's doing. And because
I'm talking about Kathy.
I'm talking about Lori is getting
Okay, yeah, I mean, but
and now Lori. Wait, I'm talking about Lori.
Right.
Okay. She was getting $1,500 as an interim director.
Right.
But she's not an interim director anymore because she stepped down, but she's still doing a lot of the work when
right.
she's here. So I'd like to recommend we continue to pay her the $1,500 until we get a director.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
So we need to make a motion and vote on this.
We just did.
Okay.
Okay.
What did we second
what's
it?
The motion.
We don't have a second.
The motion is that we continue with the additional pay of $1,500 for Lori.
Even though she's not
an interim director,
it's just acknowledgement of the extra work.
It's an acknowledgement of the extra responsibility and the extra work she's having to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would second that.
Is that permanent?
I said until a director is hired.
Okay, so the motion, did you make the motion?
She made the statement. I said so moved.
Okay, so you made the motion. I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes carry. Okay. So Kathy was doing the Kathy was doing the financial admin work. She's not doing the financial admin work. She gave that up so she could go focus on her library. But I know she's helping Lori in support of Kiowa. And so what I would like to do is continue to pay Kathy the $750 as well until. When are you thinking of hiring the Kiowa director?
The admin? Oh, the Kiowa director.
Yeah, manager. Kiowa manager. What's the date on that again?
Well, what we've got on our the timeline.
The 8th.
22nd of August.
Okay, so I would like to.
8th of August, but we'll see.
Okay. I'd like to continue to pay Kathy the additional $750. For that additional support that she's providing and picking up additional responsibility until we hire a director.
There you go.
Hire a director or hire somebody for that library?
She's doing director type work. I mean, director admin assistant. Well, what Wendy had done that we now think
right.
a director would be
I,
doing.
I think until we get a director.
But I still say, right, like,
but
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. But we're posting for a financial administrator.
No.
No, we're not.
No. Oh, we're not
an admin assistant.
That
admin assistant will not be responsible for financial and they will not be responsible for HR.
Okay.
That will go to the director. The director will have oversight over financial, but the goal is that we outsource the financial piece, which I don't know yet. I mean, that's my thought was I'd like to bring a recommendation to the board that we can outsource that financial piece and that we can automate the timekeeping and the payroll.
But that's for later.
I'm working that. I'll bring that later.
Okay.
So
the motion. Okay. Do you want to make a motion or the motion is to continue Kathy's $750 payment until a director is obtained
until a director is hired.
Until a director is hired.
Or her responsibilities lessened, I guess I will say that.
But I would second that.
Okay, and so right now here it is. We're agreeing to continue the payment of $750 a month to Kathy until a director is hired.
It's for supplemental work.
A supplemental increase of $750.
But
a month.
Hasn't she been getting that?
But it's a supplemental. It's not added to her base pay. It's always been a supplemental.
So I should call it a supplemental pay.
Yes.
So we're continuing the supplemental
pay.
Continuing. Oh boy.
And I'll put something in writing, like I did with you guys before, so that it's clear. Because I had them sign a statement before that we would relook this again in 6 months. So.
We need to vote.
Okay.
So we
all in favor?
Second.
We've got a motion.
We have a motion.
Alan, a second.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I'm just gonna say too, I'm keeping the amounts are different, but that is because I know that Lori carries a heavier burden being at the district office.
Yes.
So.
Kathy was good with this too, right?
I haven't talked to anybody about it. We needed to vote on it.
No, I mean, all along, she's been getting the $750.
She's been getting the $750. She wanted more money in June if she was gonna do the financial admin work.
Got it.
But she's not doing that.
But she's not doing that, but I wanna go ahead and continue to pay her the $750.
Sure, I think that's reasonable.
And we're, Mary Ellen is supporting us.
Thank you.
For our $20 an hour rate.
My God.
And she.
Have you no self-respect?
But the good thing about this is that, this is what I think about this, is that Mary Ellen with her expertise can tell us, okay, should it take 20 hours to do payroll? Or should it take 5? Should it take 10 hours?
Eight.
Okay, 8. Should it take 10 hours or 20 hours a month to do accounts payable and accounts receivable? Or should it take 10 or 5? I want her to tell us that she's seeing that. She can tell us that. And then that will help us to make a better informed decision about, do we outsource the accounts payable, right? Do we, to alleviate some of the risk, automate timekeeping and payroll?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we want to make sure we don't forget to pay people's para. We want to make sure we don't forget to take out taxes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And unless we were going to plan to hire, you know, a certified financial admin,
yeah.
I just think that after our audit, I just want to make sure that we have somebody who has the skill sets and kind of takes that liability off of us. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't want to single threaded. I don't want to ever have that happen to us again.
It's coming together. Just trust, it's coming together.
Yes.
Okay, does the board members have any other items of business they want to discuss? I want to thank you guys for hanging out for 2 hours and 17 minutes. I'd like somebody to make a motion we adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye's carry.
This is not anywhere close to what the hell we got now.
I said that to her.
This conference will now be recorded.
It doesn't have anything to do with this.
It's not Elizabeth.
How you want it to the bank.
Not even close. It's not even the building. It's not even in the same place.
No. And here's Elizabeth.
This conference will now be recorded.